Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Train, we are happy to report, has found a job in his new career, the career in which he actually got his illustrious PhD in, and as we speak, he is relocating to California. So he flew out today, and he's going to make every effort to call in and join us, and if for nothing else, to at least share his thoughts on the firing of his very own coach, Lovie Smith. So we're hoping Dr. Train at some point can join us tonight. And if you don't know, now you know. It's me, Commissioner T. I am live with you, broadcasting from Bristol, Connecticut, home of ESPN, although I am not in any way, shape, nor form affiliated with ESPN. But I can be there in 10 minutes, you know, if they want to call and need somebody to fill in. I can actually be in their studio in 10 minutes. But I don't do this alone. I already mentioned Dr. Train, and we're hoping that he can sneak in and join us. His flight probably landed about 30 minutes ago. If I have the time shifts changes right, I don't know. I can't ever get the time zones right, but I think he landed 30 minutes ago, so hopefully he can join us. But we do have, and I know this guy's been waiting to get at me, I just know that he cannot wait to get on the air and get at me. So without any further ado, Madden Nation Season 4 contestant, one of the best Madden players in the world. We know him as Ali Quick. You all know him as K-Star. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Well, well, well. Here we are. And you're right. I've been looking forward to it. I feel kind of bad, honestly, for being right in certain situations. But nonetheless, here we are, and honestly, you know, once Train gets here, he's probably depressed too, because really all of our teams are now officially out of the hunt.
You know, and that's the one thing that, even though we can all rib each other, at the end of the day, the ribbing can only go so far, because, you know, for most of the season, it looked like pretty much a lock that the Steelers and the Bears were going to the playoffs, and the Cowboys were struggling, and then as the Cowboys started to swing upwards, both the Steelers and the Bears started to slide backwards. And going into the last week of the season, the Steelers eliminated. Bears needed help, and the Cowboys controlled their own destiny. Bears did their part but didn't get any help. And, of course, as we all know, highest rated, and I must say this, highest rated Sunday night football game by far since NBC picked up Sunday night football. Cowboys at Redskins. And just for the record, the second highest was last year's game with the Cowboys and the Giants. So there is a common denominator there, just for K-Star's reference, who likes to think that, why are the Cowboys on it? This is why the Cowboys are on Sunday Night Football. No matter what, they draw ratings. I mean, you know, they can be 1-15 and people are going to watch them. That's just the way it is. So let's now officially at least put that to bed. Let's at least just put that whole why question to bed. Number one, by far, Cowboys Redskins. Number two, Cowboys Giants. Okay. I know K-Star wants to get at me, so I'm going to go ahead and let him start. We're going to start, of course, talking about the Cowboys and the Redskins. I'm going to give K-Star the floor, and then I will, of course, and only Commissioner T style, I will retort.
Now, for weeks, the whole season, really, it's come up quite a bit that, you know, the Cowboys are a talented bunch, a talented team. They have playmakers on the outside. We saw guys like Dez Bryant develop into an elite receiver throughout the season. We saw, like usual, Miles Austin make plays throughout the season. We saw Jason Witten break, I believe, the NFL record in receptions this year for a tight end. They are very talented a bunch there. But one thing I've warned you and try to tell you and try to prognosticate, and really without much effort, because I can simply just go back to the history of it, is that Tony Romo, you know, is a very good player, but he's a quarterback who's just going to let you down when it matters most. We've seen it. 1-6 in past seven elimination games. This is a guy in which will get you there. Oh, he will. He will fight. He will claw. But when he gets there, something happens. And the difference between an elite quarterback or a quarterback whose legacy is forever tied to guys like Troy Aikman because of being a Dallas quarterback, it pales in comparison. It's an embarrassment. The fact that people had touted Tony Romo's records and had even said at some point, even Troy himself, just ridiculous, saying that he's a better quarterback than I am, it needs to stop. Can we just never make that statement ever again? Because let me tell you something, and Pete, you know better than anyone, you watched the Cowboys win Super Bowls. You saw Troy can play well in big games. These things happen. Now, with Tony, it hasn't. For whatever reason, you know, it just hasn't clicked for him in these type of situations. And again, I try to tell you, I try to warn you, I don't really know, if I'm a Cowboys fan, what to possibly think other than you have to kind of just stick with him and hope for the best. But honestly, I don't see how you can really have a fair expectation that anything's going to change, because why would it? But listen, man, hey, I try to tell you. I try to warn you this is going to happen. And for weeks you said, you know, we don't know that. You know, we can't prognosticate. It's a new year. It's a new thing. Well, I mean, the same thing always happens, Steve. And I feel bad. I really do. Because, you know, I gave Ben, who has had obviously big games before, Super Bowls and everything, I gave him some flack for not playing too well in some big crucial moments this year. And Tony Romo has 3 picks. From his demonstrative behavior to Kevin Ogletree, I'm sick of seeing it. And I really want your thoughts on that as well as we proceed forward here, because there's a lot of layers to this just one topic. But his leadership to me is always at a question when he constantly is just blaming guys for interceptions. And sometimes you wonder why. The Ogletree play overthrew him. He was getting at him. And just the look on his face, he doesn't really seem to want to be holding himself accountable. Although, after this performance, he had to. He finally had to sit here and say, listen, man, I let the team down. I'm not sure how you want to tackle this, Steve. There's a really lot of layers, man. We can go on and on. How do you respond to the 3 interceptions, the last one being probably the worst of his career?
Let me just say this. First of all, let me keep it real for everybody out there listening. You know, and I've had people hit me up on Facebook and Twitter and all that, you know. And I'm going to keep it real because I pride myself in doing it. I pride myself in, while I am a real fan of my team, I also have eyes and can see. I sat in Sliders Sports Bar in Plainville, Connecticut, voted one of the top sports bars in the country by ESPN, the magazine. I sat there in Plainville. And I saw Tony Romo get the ball with 3 minutes and 35 seconds down 21-18. And I had some friends with me. I had 4 or 5 friends with me. Sunday was a rough day for a lot of reasons. We won't get into all of it. It was a rough day for me. Lost my fantasy football championship, among other things. But I sat there and I looked at the TV when Romo came out on the field. I said, and I said it out loud. I didn't say it to myself. I put myself out there. I said, all right, Romo. Now, the guy to the left of me, of course, is a Redskin fan, a very good friend of mine, Redskin fan. And I say, here we go. This is your time. This is it right here. This is your time to shut up your critics. This is it. 3 minutes, 35 seconds to go. Two timeouts, 2 minute warning, down by three. This is it. The game is over. It is just time for you to do what you've done all year. This is it. Clutch time. It's time, Tony. That's it. You do this right now. Everything is erased. Everything is forgotten about. All is forgiven. We move on and face the Seahawks in the playoffs. Let's go. We all know what happened. Through an ill-advised interception. Now, let's be honest. Guy made a great play. Doesn't change the fact that it was an interception at the worst time of the game. Doesn't change the fact that K-Star is absolutely right. Seven elimination games. Tony Romo as a starting quarterback is 1-6. I sat there and I said, this is your time, and he threw a pick. I can't defend it. I can't. I can't defend Romo this time. I can't defend that play. I cannot defend Tony Romo. There's a problem. I'm not saying throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not saying get rid of Tony Romo. That's where I stop short. I will acknowledge something's not right here. Because the guy's throwing 5,000 yards this year. You know, now, 5,000-yard seasons are a little more common than they were 2 years ago. But let's be clear, 5,000 yards is still incredible. Jason Witten doesn't catch 109 passes by himself. Des Bryant doesn't become elite by himself. Okay, there's a guy throwing that ball, so let's keep it real. But when it comes to clutch, when it comes to the big play that can get this team over the hump, for some reason, I have to admit, to this point, Romo has fallen short time and time again. And I can't defend it. I watched it, and I said, here's your time. And I can't defend it. I cannot. There's nothing I can say to excuse. I can give reasons. I can sit there and say they've been blitzing. And I can do all the football talk you guys want and be truthful. But the bottom line is I expect more from Tony Romo. I expect him because I do think he's an elite quarterback. And I expect a guy of his caliber not to make that play. Because the way I looked at that play, when he told DeMarco Murray to run out into the flats, I saw it, and I'm sitting in Plainville, Connecticut. I'm pretty sure the Redskins saw it too. Okay? So if I saw it from Plainville, Connecticut, the Redskins saw it too. Now, you did that because you knew they were blitzing, and you knew the offensive line had been Swiss cheese all day. So you knew you had no chance of getting any time. So that was your play. So you knew what you were doing. But you threw a pick. You threw a pick. So I can't defend it. He cannot close big games. I admit it. I don't know what the solution is. I don't get paid enough money to even think about what the solution is. I don't.
That's what's tough. Because it's like, again, I'll be the first guy to bash Tony Romo when it comes to the situation. But what do? You can't get rid of him because he still gets you to these games. He willed the Cowboys back from a season that was once pronounced dead. Like, I can admit that. Like, anyone who has eyes can admit that Tony Romo played some great football for a great portion of the season. But I don't know. It's just weird, man. Like, I wasn't surprised at all. It's kind of what I expected. Like, people on Twitter were laughing about people, like, calling it out. Like, he's going to throw a pick here. Like, people, I feel bad, honestly.
Let me say a couple of things. Let me just say this, and let's make sure we tell the whole story. Without Romo, the Cowboys are 3-13. Okay.
Absolutely.
And so all the people that want to say get rid of Romo, you're smoking something. Without Romo, they're 3-13. For those of you who remember pre-Romo, an aged Drew Bledsoe, an aged Vinny Testaverde, Chad Hutchinson, Drew Henson, Quincy Carter, you know, need I go on, Ryan Leaf, need I go on, from Troy Aikman to Tony Romo was the Ziegfeld Follies of quarterbacks, either Brad Johnson, you know, either aged quarterbacks that you're trying to get one last year out of, or former baseball players thinking that they can play this game. We're not going to go and sell the farm. You can't do that with all the talent and the payroll you have to go get an RG3 or an Andrew Luck. So Romo will be the Cowboys quarterback in the discussion. Just accept that for the next few years. I do think in the next 2 years, they need to start thinking about who's going to be the next quarterback in Dallas, though. I do think that. But right now, he's your man. But let's just put things in perspective just a little bit. Jason Garrett cannot go without blame here. We can sit here all day and say Tony threw the pass, but someone is calling plays. And when a team blitzes, like Haslett was blitzing, 61% of the time, that is a fact, 61% of the time they blitzed Romo. Why aren't you throwing screens? Why aren't you running draws, quick slants? Blitz beaters. I didn't see that in this game. So, yes, Romo threw three picks. We can argue whether, you know, bad passes, you know, we can argue that. But the play calling in this game to me was horrible. DeMarco Murray was rushing for 4.5 yards a carry. Now, Alfred Morris was just dominant, okay? But in the NFL, 4.5 yards a carry is pretty good. Pretty good. Why is he only rushing the ball 11 times? So we can look at Romo and say, clutch gene, coming through in a big game. But in those same 7 big games, the offensive coordinator has been Jason Garrett. DeMarcus Ware has been on this same team. Now, I'm not blaming DeMarcus Ware. I'm just saying there's a team out there. There's a team of guys that in those 7 games, Jason Witten, Jay Ratliff, Miles Austin.
There's a core, man.
There's a core of guys on this team that have been through these 7 games. And Romo, as quarterbacks will, get unfair blame and unfair credit. So if Jerry Jones came on the air this week and said there will be changes and things will be uncomfortable in Dallas in the upcoming future. Now, no one knows what that means. I don't know. But all I'm saying is there is a problem with Romo. And the only thing out there that I see that might be a possible solution, and we won't even talk about injuries because every team has them, and Dallas has them, just is probably as bad as anybody. But the one thing that I think could help, I do think that since Norv Turner has been fired, and Norv Turner has won, I thought he only won 2. I thought Ernie Zampezi was the offensive coordinator for one of those Super Bowls, but my sources are saying no, it was Norv Turner for all 3. So if that is the case, and Norv Turner is available as he is, no one's going to hire him as a head coach, but he's a very good offensive coordinator, and he did very well with Troy Aikman as his quarterback. I really think that for Dallas, and, you know, Jason Garrett played under Norv Turner. The systems are similar, so we're not talking about revamping or changing. Laurent Robinson came in last year and scored 11 touchdowns. He came from San Diego and fit seamlessly into the Dallas system and scored 11 touchdowns last year. So I think, moving forward, that would be a great move for Dallas. I don't know what you do with Callahan, but I think you strip Garrett of his play calling, you make Norv Turner your offensive coordinator, and Jason Garrett now becomes a legitimate head coach with no job other than to monitor everything that's going on. And let's see what he can do now. Let's see what he can do now. That's the only thought I have right now. There'll be more later. I got to ask you this, K-Star. The videotape on NFL.com, it's on there now. Anybody can go see it. RG3 approaching Tony Romo at the end of the game. And I'm paraphrasing what he said. It's about a 14-second clip. And he says, Tony, you're still a great quarterback. Don't listen to any of the negativity. You're a great quarterback. And this game doesn't mean anything. And Tony said something to the effect of, thanks, and go do your thing. What was your take on that? I have a very strong opinion about it, but as one who has no horse in this race, what's your take on it? I don't know if you saw it or heard about it, but...
Yeah, I saw it. I didn't actually hear the quote, but I saw that he had stopped in the middle of the field and looked like he was getting some kind of consolation or, you know, words of encouragement to try to pick him up a little bit. The game meant a lot. It definitely did. I think Tony knows it. Everyone knows it, watched it, because, again, the biggest thought going into it was, like, look, come on, he has to do this. Like, they need to win this game. There's no reason why they shouldn't. Dallas had a great opportunity to put themselves in position. They had positions to win the game, but as far as the comment and what RG3 said, I just think that they were just trying to pacify Romo, make him feel better, encourage him as a fellow quarterback in fraternity. That's kind of how I looked at it because, let's be honest, RG3, he knew how important that game was. He talked about the history and what it meant to for the Washington, D.C. area and the Redskins fans to finally get back in the playoffs. You know, he's in tune. He knows Tony's history. Was that nice of him? Nice thing for him to say? Yeah. It was a little disingenuous in the fact that it's not exactly true. It meant a lot in this game, meant the season. And the way he performed, it, you know, I just felt like it was more or less just RG3 being a class act kind of guy and trying to pick up his a quarterback in his fellow fraternity that they're in. I don't look at anything more.
If I'm Tony Romo, I'm ashamed of myself. If I'm Tony Romo, I'm going to watch that clip every day in the offseason. Not because RG3 did anything wrong. Not because I have any problem with what RG3 did. It's class act all the way. Here's a rookie consoling you, a veteran.
Yeah.
This is a rookie, okay, who came off the street, took his team to the playoffs, just like Andrew Luck did, just like the guy Seattle, Russell Wilson. Thank you. If I'm Tony Romo, I'm looking at these three rookies. And granted, you know, number one, number two pick in the draft, Tony Romo, you know, seventh round draft pick. If that, he might have been undrafted free agent coming out of Eastern Illinois, but definitely not heralded out of college. But at this point, Romo is in the upper echelon of quarterbacks. No matter where you place him, he's in the top third, okay? And he's considered, you know, one of the better quarterbacks in football. And you have these three rookies that came in and are taking their teams to the playoffs in the first year, okay? Seattle, Colts, and Redskins. Colts and Redskins, I don't even remember what Seattle did last year, but Colts and Redskins were nothing last year. Now, granted, the Colts the year before, 10-6 went to the playoffs. But nevertheless, 2-14, Redskins, I don't know what they were, 4-12, whatever last year, and both teams go to playoffs. And very much based on what the quarterback was able to do. If I'm Tony Romo, I'm embarrassed. And again, not because RG3 did anything wrong. I think it's a class act. I think that's, you know, that's to me, that's Jordan-esque. That's what I used to see Michael Jordan do at the end of the games after he whooped you. Then he'd come over and smile at you. Hey, good game. You know, wow, whoo, man, you know, used to do that to Mitch Richmond and all these guys that you know, couldn't beat them. And if I'm Romo, I'm pissed off. I'm angry because you should be the guy. That should have been you saying that to him. You should have been the guy saying, you got a great career ahead of you, kid. Keep working hard. One day you'll be where I am. One day you'll be sitting here taking your team to the playoffs instead of going home. Sorry I had to send you home, but great game, but you got a lot of talent. Good luck to you.
Instead, yeah, good luck, kid.
Yeah, good luck, kid. Throw him the Mean Joe Green jersey from the Coke commercial and go on and get ready to play Seattle. But no. But I do want to defend one thing about Romo. And I got into a little bit with our guy Aussie Adam down in Australia. Happy New Year, Adam. But you got to remember, Adam's a Redskins fan, and when I remembered that, I kind of stopped the conversation. It's kind of like, you know, I can't argue with Redskins or Eagles or Giant fans because we're not going to get along. We're not going to see it the right way. So why are we going to argue about it? You guys get 30-second, 45-second clips on SportsCenter of Tony Romo's interviews, post-game interviews, and you come up with these, he doesn't take the blame. And that could not be farther from the truth. And he even compared him to Ben Roethlisberger and said, well, Ben takes the blame. And I wanted to say, and I'm not knocking you, K-Star. We already covered this, so, you know, don't jump out of your seat. But I remember Ben talking about the overtime game against Dallas saying that was not the right play call, yet he threw the pick. Okay? He said that was not the right play call, but he still threw the pick. So I don't know why Adam was saying, well, Ben Roethlisberger takes blame and he takes the blame and Tony doesn't. I think most of the top quarterbacks, Ben, Brady, all these guys, I see them all taking blame, talking about how they have to improve. Now, they're going to throw their team in there, too, because it's a team game. And you're the leader of the team. And, of course, you're going to say, we have to get better. We have to improve. But I see these guys always taking blame. I didn't do enough. I didn't do what needed to be done. Not just this game. I've seen Romo do this many, many times. Unfortunately, way too many times he's got to take blame. But he always does. And he stands up there like a man, and he takes it on the chin. So anyone out there who doesn't think Romo takes it on the chin, you can go kick rocks. You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I'm stealing Stephen A. Smith's line. Because I watch every single press conference from beginning to end, and that guy stands there after every defeat, and he stands there. There was one year that he had hurt himself in the game and limped up on stage the last game of the season. They were breaking down the set, and he was still talking, taking it on the chin. So don't sit there and tell me that Romo is not a leader, that Romo doesn't take it. And to your point, K-Star, about yelling at Ogletree, we don't know the play call. We don't know what happened on the field. But I can
assure you. It was like a bad overthrow, though. I mean,
if he's yelling at Ogletree, Ogletree deserves it. That's all I'm saying. And Miles, I'm sorry. The ball's in the air. It wasn't a good pass. I'm not defending Tony.
It was faster than the throw. It was a tough play.
What are you doing, Miles? You're standing there ready to make the tackle. Knock the ball down. It's a jump ball. Your defender's got position on you, and you're standing there like, I'm going to make the tackle. I'm going to make the tackle. No! Offensive pass interference. Anything.
We've seen that play a few times where he throws a loft ball to Miles and it doesn't fare too well.
Yeah, because Miles.
We've seen that play a few times this season.
Go and get that ball. We saw Dez do that against New Orleans. Dez will go get that ball, you know? And Miles, I don't know why Tony keeps throwing it to him because that's not Miles' game, but whatever. But, you know, again, I don't want to come off as defending Romo too much. I want to set the record straight that the guy is a leader on that team, and he does take it on the chin. The problem is, for some reason, I can't deny it, I can't run from it, 1-6 in closeout games, and I saw it, I put it on the line, I said, here's your time to shine, here we go, and he threw a pick. So... It is what it is, and it's going to be a long off season for myself. It's going to be a long off season for K-Star. It's going to be a long off season for Train, because unlike K-Star and I, Train's team finished 10-6.
Yeah, no playoffs. I feel bad for Train. That sucks. I don't want to go into that quite yet, but as far as the Cowboys thing, I feel kind of bad. I really do.
What's that now?
I do feel kind of bad, just because it's like, he's a nice guy. You know, Tony Romo's a nice guy. He's fine. Like, it's not, I don't hate Tony Romo. It's just, from a football standpoint, you watch him, and you just kind of are familiar with how he plays in situations. And, you know, for a while, Peyton early in his career had that same kind of stigma. He was able to shake it off. And you kind of hope eventually these athletes do, because no one, you know, same with LeBron James to an extent. You don't want to see them just continually to struggle in those kind of situations. So when I was watching that, I was kind of had the cringe effects, kind of like watching like a bad accident unraveling. And so, I mean, seriously, I was like, here we go again. And then I fell for the Cowboys. I'm like,
Are you there, K-Star? Did we lose you? K-Star.
You hear me?
Hear you now.
All right, but I was just like, man, I wonder what he's doing, man. This is just rough. Like, I just don't know how to do that anymore. It's just, I know how to stand.
I can't.
Not just keep years off your life.
Can't defend. It's just, but when people want to say when people say Tony Romo can't get it done down the stretch, he can't get it done in the big game, I at this point no longer can defend it. 1-6 in closeout games, an interception at the key point in this game, no matter whose fault it is, he threw the pass, ill-advised, great play, but still, I can't defend it. What I can say is, as a football person, when you talk about Romo's got to go, I think that's people that don't understand
football.
That's what you have to say. And who are you replacing him with? Number one.
Exactly.
And how does that affect your payroll? Number two. I mean, you know, and for us Cowboy fans that have withered, you know, the 10-year gap it's actually about a 7 or 8 year gap between Aikman and Romo, I don't want to go back to 5-11 3 years in a row. I mean, 8-8 2 years in a row was the first time in Cowboy history. Now, that's tough enough to have two chances to go into the playoffs at the last game of the season and lose them both. That hurts. But I'll tell you what, I'll take that over Dave Campo 3 years in a row at 5-11. That was just, you know, watching games and really just watching them because you're a fan and like you win and it's like, oh damn, we actually won this game. You know, there was no reason to watch Cowboy football back then. You know,
yeah.
And watching the post game interviews with Campo and that team, the teams were horrible. You know, and you know, I'll tell you this. Worst thing that happened to Dallas was when Bill Parcells retired. Because I can assure you that if Parcells had stayed on this team at least 2 more years, we wouldn't be having these conversations. Because he was the guy that made the decision to bench his guy, Drew Bledsoe, and bring in Romo. And he is the guy that said Romo is a franchise quarterback. When he left the Cowboys and went to ESPN, and they asked him, he said, Romo can definitely lead this team to a Super Bowl. There's no doubt about it. And had Parcells been there, I think we're talking about a different Romo. But Parcells leaves, they bring in Wade Phillips. Now, I get it. Jason Garrett was offensive coordinator, but he's not the head coach. Those 4 years under Wade Phillips were just, you know, it's horrible. You know, you need – I mean, look at the elite quarterbacks and look who their coaches are. You know, they are motivators. They are – you know, they inspire you. They have discipline. You know, they have charisma and character. They're not, you know, Wade Phillips. You know, he's got to keep fighting and, you know we're just going to – no. You think about it. Look at Belichick. Look at Sean Payton. Look at Mike Tomlin. Before him, Bill Cowher. You know? Look at McCarthy. Before him, what's his name? The Browns guy that just retired. Who the heck is ringing my doorbell? There's someone ringing my doorbell. You know, when you think about elite quarterbacks, you know, there are leaders of those teams that have groomed these quarterbacks into something. And the Cowboys have not had that with Wade Phillips. Can Jason Garrett be another Sean Payton? Time will tell. He's not there now. And so, you know, Romo has all the talent and ability of, I think, any quarterback in the NFL. What's missing is the closing effect, being able to close out the game, be able to, you know, fourth quarter down the stretch. He's got 15, 16 fourth quarter comebacks, but they're not in the games that count the most. They're in other games that mean something that got him to these games that count the most, but not in the games that count the most. And Jerry Jones needs to think about can what do we do to help Jason Garrett? I don't think you get rid of Jason Garrett. I really don't. But what can you do to help Jason Garrett help Tony Romo? And I think when your head coach is your play caller, in this situation, again, Sean Payton, hey, you know, Mike McCarthy, hey, well, Garrett's not there yet. Bring in North Turner. Bring in Tony Sperano. Bring someone in to kind of take some of the pressure off of Jason Garrett. So then as a former NFL quarterback, he can help Romo a little bit more down the stretch. Talk to Troy Aikman. Have him as a consultant. I mean, he's not going to leave Fox, but figure something out. But something's got to be done because this is ridiculous. As a Cowboy fan, it's ridiculous to sit here again. You know, here we are in January. Got to wait all the way till September, 8-9 months. You know, watch all the offseason moves and acquisitions and, you know, and press conferences and watch Tony Romo go play golf again and try to make the U.S. Open and, you know, sit around and hope that moves are made and that this team can come back next year and try to get something done. And it's just frustrating. And I'm tired. Team's better than this. Let's go to the phone lines and bring in a guy I know been wanting to get at me too. 615 area code. Welcome, Matt Boyd.
Man, I'm so sorry. I just got on about 20 minutes ago. I hear y'all talking about Romo, but about 5 minutes ago. And did I miss T talk about the game, the opening? I mean, did I miss the emotional part of it?
You did. You know what? I got to get the T. He ate his grapefruit, man. He manned up. He admitted it. You know, we tried something for a while now. But
This is what I hate about what I've heard. He's a good fan.
He believes, and now he just eventually you see it so much. It's like, all right, you know, either I'm a lemon or I'm a man. And as a man, I believe my eyes. It happened. You missed a little bit of it. We can recap it. You can download us, iTunes. We're here for you. So, I mean, you can recap it.
What I hate about what T said so far, though, is I totally agree with you. I think Romo is not somebody you want to get rid of, man. The grass is not always greener on the other side. I've seen here in Tennessee, I've seen us get rid of some people, and I wish we had them back. I wish we had Coach Fisher back. Man, I wish we had Vince Young back because we are terrible. And I don't care what they say about Vince Young or Fisher. Maybe we was going 8-8 every year, but that's better than getting blown out of the water every other game. Who wants to go back to that, man? Tony Romo is good enough. He's exciting to watch. I mean, anybody Dallas play, you can sit there and watch the game. But I'd rather watch a Dallas game than Tennessee play. You know, I'm right here in the backyard, so, man, I say don't throw the brother away. He may not be a big clutch. Sometimes, T, when I listen to you, I think you give him more credit than he deserves. But, man, the brother can spin the ball. He makes bad decisions at times. And, man, I would not get rid of him. And when they say they need to split up the franchise or split them up and trade them and do something like that, yeah, bring them to Tennessee. We'll take them.
There's plenty of NFL teams that would, that's the thing, and
the thing about it is when you look at this game and you say, you know, Romo throws the pick down the stretch 3 minutes 35 seconds ago, he throws the pick and once again he chokes in the clutch. I can't argue that point. I can't. But what I can say is without Romo this team's 3-13. And that's you have to look at the entire picture and say there is something missing where when you need him the most, you know, critical games, not just big games, critical games. This was critical. This is a game that sends you to the playoffs to host a playoff game. Okay, this is critical. And unfortunately, I have to now admit there's a problem because in critical game, he's not delivering. But in all the games that lead you to the critical game, he delivers. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's why I get
watching Tony Romo play is like going to a strip club and watching beautiful women dance, but you know you're only going to get blue balls. You're not going to finish at the end of the night. Not legally, anyway. So, I mean, you know, it's just what it is.
I'll go one further with Tony Romo than y'all have gone. I haven't seen people say this, but I'll go one further. I believe Tony Romo is making a lot of these receivers better. I don't think they do as well as they do in Dallas everywhere else they go. I believe he's putting it to him, man. I don't believe a lot of these cats, I didn't really just hear a whole lot about him before they got to Dallas. Man, I think he's making a lot of people around him better. He kind of makes mistakes.
I think Dez would be a monster. I think Dez is just he's
a freak.
Dez, yeah. But I think of Miles. I think of Dwayne Harris.
Who is he?
You know, Miles Austin. I think he.
Yeah, who was he before? You know,
well,
man.
He was another guy that came in undrafted free agent. And I think you're right. I think there are players that Romo makes better. I think Witten would be a beast anywhere. Witten is just he's one I think can play anywhere. But you know, again, what Cowboy Nation needs is a guy who can not just start the game but finish the game. And right now, Moses isn't doing that for us, and something has to happen in Dallas. You know, I didn't feel bad for him. I'm sorry. When I watched the press conference, and I could tell he was hurting, and I could tell he's disappointed and all that. Good. Three minutes to go in the game that cost the team the game. Yes, you should feel that way. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I went down and did a TO and cried. I said, I wouldn't care if he broke down and did a TO and cried. I can't find it.
You know, one thing I wonder is how the other guys in the locker room feel about Romo. I mean, they know he's an ultra-talented quarterback.
Hold on, here we go.
Tony, you guys can point the finger at him. You can talk about the vacation. And if you do that, it's really unfair. It's really unfair. It's my team. It's my quarterback.
And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost to the team. We lost to the team, man.
It'd be real frustrating if it's 8 minute drive, 10 minute drive, and then trying to turn around and get a 40.
All right, that's enough. That's enough, Tio. I mean, you really can play that. You can play that clip almost every year, right? You know. Yeah.
Hey, one more thing before I sign out.
Well, let me just say this. There is. You know, as we sit here and pile on Romo a little bit, let's not forget that the Cowboys defense had no answers for Alfred Morris, 200 yards rushing, and the read option, they couldn't stop it. Now, DeMarcus Ware was playing with pretty much one arm. And, I mean, it was just incredible that he was even out there. But the defense couldn't stop. I mean, RG3 was a shell of what he normally can be, 9 for 18, 100 yards, and was certainly not very mobile, but didn't need to be because they couldn't stop Morris. They couldn't stop Morris. You know, let's not forget this guy ran for 200 yards on Dallas. And every time the Cowboys got them at third and long, they got out of it. Every time. And sometimes it was a running play. So, I mean, let's spread some of this blame around on this game. But go ahead. You have one last comment?
Yeah, I did, but until you said that. Because I understand what you're saying on that, but we all feel like our gut tells us that Romo is good enough to win that game. And I think that's the problem because we feel like he's good enough. We believe he has the talent to win these games that they lose, and somehow they just end up losing.
But, you know, when you watch and after the interception, and it was 3rd and 7, and they stopped them, and it was going to be 4th down, and they threw a pass instead of running it, so they left Dallas timeouts, and we're all saying, okay, they're going to kick a field goal, and Dallas still has 2 timeouts with a minute or whatever to go. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, here comes Tony Romo. Here we go. One more shot. And Jason Hatcher hands to the helmet. 1st down. Pretty much game's over. You know, so
man,
I mean,
don't you wish they just would not call that, though, right?
Man,
now,
it's
man.
The most ridiculous. Man, go back 10 years and watch football. For those of us that have been watching football for a long time, go back in 10 years and watch football and watch how many times that happens. That just was part of the game. Now, all of a sudden, if you flick the helmet, it's an illegal blow to the head because of the – I mean, I get concussions are an issue, but damn. I mean, damn. You can't even touch him now in the head.
Man, that was just
– it's been a problem,
that
actually.
That was just a call. It should not have been called.
There's a lot of calls these past few weeks in the NFL where there was no contact to the receiver's head, no blow to the head. More or less just big hits, you know, including like hitting them in the chest area, and he still saw a flag, which is, I'm sure, as a defender, just maddening. It keeps happening. I saw it. I was watching. I have a friend who's a big Carolina Panthers fan, so I see a lot of Cam Newton and all that stuff and how that kind of happens. But against the Raiders, there was a hit on Carson Palmer, just a regular run-the-mill hit. In his chest area, and because he got hurt, they called a flag. It was ridiculous. It was a nice hit, and it happened a few times throughout the game, and it's happening throughout the league. I feel like they're more or less just playing so cautious, the refs are, with these quarterbacks that, you know, it's just not happening. You can't really hit the guy like you used to be able to, and even in a legal fashion, there's sense. And the same thing with receivers. I'm not really sure. They need to look at this in the offseason because a legal hit shouldn't be called anything besides a legal hit. So it's a problem.
But the timing on that one, though, was so crazy. I mean, just like T said, we're all expecting Romo to get this last chance to march the ball down the field. I mean, the whole world wants to see that. And I get it. If I'm a Washington fan, I love the call. But just somebody who wants to see football being played, I wish the ref just wouldn't have saw that one or something, man.
I was hoping he had another chance, and honestly – I mean, I thought he'd probably throw another pick, but I at least wanted to say, like, all right, we'll at least get to do another chance. Like, come on.
You know, to be honest with you, though, I honestly feel pretty good about what could have happened had the Cowboys had that one last shot with a reason. You know, obviously they had one last, they were going to get like 3 plays, but I mean, a legitimate shot. Because as bad as Romo can be down the stretch, I don't see that happening twice in a row. I just don't. There's no precedent for late in the fourth quarter and Romo getting 2 chances and making that mistake twice. He's better than that. I would give him that. I would have liked to have seen that.
Would that have drove you nuts, though, if he would have got the ball back and threw another pick? Would you call for his head then?
And I can't call for his head because there's no options. You know,
I get it, man. I wouldn't, man. I wouldn't call for his head.
There's no options. You know, so, I mean, he's got 1 year left on his contract. Now, I question whether they, you know, I will say this. You know, you're playing for your extension, and you didn't deliver when we needed you to. Statistically, you had a pretty good year. Pretty good. Not even his normal. But, I mean, I don't know if he legitimately went over 5,000, but if he was very close, he needed, I don't know, like 220 or something to go over 5,000 for the season. And, I mean, That's just insane. But I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm ready to rush and sign him to an extension. I don't know. I mean, has he earned it? I don't know. That's where I'm at right now. He's got 1 year left on his deal, and Jerry Jones is
older, too. I mean, that's the thing I was saying before last week, and we talked about it. I said, look, the reason why Theismann, and to his credit, I mean, again, Theismann was kind of right about the whole thing. Like, yeah, he's a Redskins former quarterback, but there's some guys that have it who don't, and when you're the Cowboys and you spend a lot of money, especially at the quarterback position, in which you would have to pay him a lot of money because, let's be honest, there's another team who would pay him that kind of money out there. Hello, Arizona. Hello, like 25 other NFL franchises. But when you're 20 or when you're 32 or 33, and this has been kind of your swan song, your career encompassed, and honestly, pigeonholed in many different lights, it's tough to invest money when you kind of know what you're going to get. You're going to get something that's going to be entertaining for the fans, but not so much in the win column or where it matters most. And as a Dallas owner, I can only imagine the frustration level that Jerry Jones has to have because he's pretty much stuck with him. And they probably will have to sign to extension because, again, unless they draft someone or something, no, find some of the equal value, they will.
You said Joe Theismann's right. Joe Theismann said Tony Romo's an average quarterback. Joe Theismann is dead wrong. He said Tony Romo is an average quarterback. There's nowhere in anything I said where I indicated that he was an average quarterback. Nor did you, nor did Saint. None of us said.
Okay, maybe I gotta listen to the whole quote again. I think that
average quarterback.
I gotta check out that quote again. I know I remember him saying average quarterback when I heard it. I remember him kind of going into detail about that. I think he did give him some credit there. And then
Dallas quarterback Tony Romo has always had his critics. Now former Super Bowl winning quarterback Joe Theismann is joining that list. I'm Kerry Chow, joined by Joe Theismann on the phone. Joe, what sparked these comments regarding your thoughts on Tony Romo?
Well, Kerry, it was the way he played on Monday night. It wasn't, I threw five interceptions on my birthday down in Dallas, so it isn't the interceptions as much as, the missed opportunities, fumbling the football that wound up in the touchdown. I mean, not protecting the ball in the pocket, missing Miles Austin, missing Dez Bryant on what would have been touchdowns. Tony, I guess maybe my expectation of Tony is really high, and right now he's average. I mean, you can list – I listed last night, I took the time to list the 32 starting quarterbacks in the National Football League, and I had him right in the middle. And he shouldn't be there. And so when I –
All right, we don't need to go any further, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right. I thought it was more or less.
But where do you put him? I mean, let's be honest about it. Where do you put Tony Romo?
I'd say he's still top 10. I'd say he's still a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. I mean, when you look at are we rating him on his career? Or are we rating him on the season? You know what I mean? I mean, we have the taste in our mouth of game 16, and we say, here we go again. But we all acknowledge that without Romo, this team's 3-13. So, he had finished with, I don't know how many picks, too many, but, 9 of those were in 2 games, So I still think that when you get past Brady, Rodgers, Breeze, Peyton Manning, and who am I missing?
Roethlisberger.
Well, Ben didn't have a great
come
year.
Come on.
He didn't have a great
year. Stop it.
He didn't
You know what? No, stop it. Because we look at Ben's numbers. He had a great – Ben had a Romo-like – Ben had a Romo-like season for once. Like, come on.
First season, that's what I said. If we were looking at career, I would say, okay, and Ben too. If we're looking at season, Ben didn't do anything special this year. Come on now. I admitted it. Let's be cool up and admit it. He didn't do anything. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Career-wise, two Super Bowls, undeniable. Now you got to talk.
And you're right, but they both finished with 8 wins on the season, and Big Ben had a better
number. But when you're playing this long, when both people have been in the league this long, you got to go career. Can't just go season by season.
Yeah.
I've seen quarterbacks have really monster seasons, but you couldn't put them in the top notch of the quarterbacks in the league.
Even in career-wise, I mean, how many rookies do we have? So, I mean, are we going to start saying that RG3 and Luck and these guys, are we going to say because they had good years that they're better than Romo right now? They had
well,
good years.
You would say
right here.
You would say RG3 and Luck for Romo right now, right?
Well, I say that again?
You would take RG3 and Luck for Romo right now, wouldn't you?
I'd consider Luck. I like RG3, but I think the read option is the new Wildcat, and we saw what happened to the Wildcat, okay?
Hold on, Matt. So if you could trade them straight up, you would trade RG3 for Romo?
No. I've never been a fan. I admire them, and I like watching them. I like watching RG3. I like watching Michael Vick. But as a watching my own team, those guys are too susceptible to get hurt and knocked out of these games with their style of play. No, I don't want that style of quarterback. RG3 is very effective running the read option. He had a great year, and I like him as a leader. I like his charisma. I like his style. I do. But do I want him on the Cowboys? No, I'd look at Luck first because that's more the style of quarterback that I think would fit Dallas better. So I would consider Luck, yes. I wouldn't take RG3.
You would keep Romo over RG3 if it was on the table.
Absolutely. Yes, I would.
Wow.
And that said, remember the Wildcat and remember how effective the Wildcat was. And then what happened the next year when defenses had off seasons to adjust to it? Well, the same thing's going to happen this year. You got Kaepernick, you got Wilson, you got RG3, even Cam Newton running a read option, okay? You don't think that these defenses are going to be studying that in the offseason? Oh, yeah. It's going to become a tool and not the entire offense, just like the Wildcat is now. Trust me on this. These guys are going to have to adapt. This is the NFL. This ain't college football. These are pros. This is all they do. So these guys right now, I mean, okay, they might be cleaning out their lockers and, you know, whatever. But these coordinators and general managers, I'm telling you, you don't think the Ryan brothers and all these defensive specialists aren't going to be breaking down film all off season and coming up with ways to – we got, you know, Vic. I don't know if he's going to be with the Eagles or not. Who knows? But he's there now. You know, we'll see. RG3, you got Wilson in the NFC. You got Cam Newton. You don't think these guys are going to be studying this? Oh, come on, bro. Come on.
It's tough because on one hand, it is partially a gimmick type of play. But on the other is it could be, you know, a new wave of quarterback that could be coming into the league. And we've seen it with, you know, kind of having with Tebow last year and Cam and all this. And we're seeing more of it, even with Russell Wilson. So there might be ways to slow it down, but it still, I think, will be a mainstay and part of these offenses because if these quarterbacks have the ability, might as well do it because it enhances the run game. We've seen it. You know, look at these run games in Seattle. It's a great run game. In Washington, that zone reads deadly. In Carolina, you know. So I think it'll be there to stay. Maybe not quite. Maybe it'll be watered down a little bit, but it's still definitely effective.
Oh, it's going to be a tool. It's not going to be their main offense.
But that's to say that that's all RG3 could do.
Oh, I don't know.
I think he's bigger than that.
Well, but we have.
I do too.
But that is a prediction. And we will have to see how RG3, the Shanahan father-son combination, adjusts next year once the defensive has stopped. I would assume that the Shanahans are going to go back and say, okay, we know what's coming next year defensively. At least we know they're going to try. What else can we do? But we don't know yet. We don't know yet, okay? That's all I'm saying is I'm not picking a one-trick pony right now. And right now, as good as RG3 was this year, to me, right now, until I see better, he's a one-trick pony. And when that's taken away, now let me see what you can do. Because
they did rely. I'll just say this: they definitely did rely on that all season in the pistol offense and really everything they did. All what Washington did this year was run the zone read, throw a screen, run play action with it, and just that was pretty much it. And throw the throw the ball down the field again through play action with Alfred Morris. So it lasted all year. We'll see. I think teams again will slow it down a bit, but
Well, this is where, like I said, if you look at football over the last as many years as I've been watching it, the offenses have had to grow and adjust because the defenses always catch up, You know, there was a time where the shotgun formation, formerly known as spread, wasn't even anything people considered necessary. The Cowboys revolutionized it, and people was like, you don't need that, just stay under center. Well, with blitzes, and we know them in Madam as Nanos, right? With blitzes and schemes, guess what now? Every team on offense it uses what the Cowboys developed as the spread, and now it's called the shotgun. Every team uses it now, you know, because the offense, the defenses catch up and often say, oh, well, now we have to come up with something else. So we're going to see over the next year or two, the defenses will, and this is historic football. The defenses always figure it out, and then offense will say, oh, okay, now this can no longer be our mainstay, so now this becomes a tool because now we can't let them know when it's coming because now they can stop it. So now this becomes plays and not our whole scheme, and now we have to create something else. It's anyone who's watched football for the last 30 years will tell you it's what's going to happen. And at that point, then let's see what RG3 is capable of. Let's see what Wilson is capable of, and these younger guys. Let's see what they can do. And they might be. I mean, RG3 might turn out to be. I mean, he might have more tricks in his tool bag, but I want to see it first. You know, where Andrew Luck had some mobility. Was very Peyton Manning-esque back there. Not Peyton Manning, don't get me wrong, but, he showed a lot of poise. And, 11-5.
11-5. Andrew Luck, jeez. Hey, earlier this season we had said, I had said that maybe the Colts could actually beat the Green Bay Packers that weekend. And we looked back at it and we said, this could be, a staple trademark game for him in Indianapolis. And, we had said that he kind of has to, keep it going and everything, otherwise all will be forgotten. Well, let me tell you, they do not. I don't say they don't care about Peyton Manning here, because they still like him. It's Peyton Manning, right? People love the man. But they are fiercely for Andrew Luck, and most, I would say 95% Colts fans, I do live here, that who I talk to are just absolutely thrilled with, honestly, how everything has panned out. They see Peyton Manning still dominating, but they don't even care. It's like, well, okay. And we got this guy forever. So.
Yeah. Well, you're right there in the thick of it, and I think winning cures all. When you're winning, everything is love. When you're losing, it's nothing but conversation, discussion, and blame.
Yeah.
All right, Saint. Did you have anything else?
No, man. I'm chill back and listen to the rest of the show.
All right, brother. Thanks for joining us.
All right.
All right. All right, so a couple other things. Just a quick comment. When we talk about Adrian Peterson and 9 yards short of the record, I didn't stick it on our original things to do, but I started thinking we should at least give some props to a guy who had torn ACL, MCL, last game of this regular season of last year. I think the thought of him being the comeback player of the year is ridiculous because he was hurt on the last game of the season. So I don't get comeback, but definitely MVP candidate without a doubt. I do think it'll come down to him or Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning, yeah.
MVP.
I think they should split it, honestly. I mean, they've both been terrific. They both willed their teams to the playoffs. They were both just they were just terrific. If you look at Peyton Manning's numbers, they're ridiculous. He had 4,600 yards, 37 touchdowns, and then Adrian had 2,000 yards with 9 short of the rushing record. And you know what? That performance against Green Bay, to me, although he didn't break the record, it really felt like he did because the way he closed the game out and just fought and still had 200 yards rushing, and to cap off the season, it was just that guy. Let me tell you, I haven't been around to watch as much football as T has, but Adrian Peterson's truly, from all the years that I've watched, the best running back I've ever seen in my generation by far, and it's not even close. The guy is just – I was rooting for him wholeheartedly When you watch him, you just feel like you're watching something special, just something different, something great, and something you don't see with any real other running back in the NFL. And hats off to Adrian Peterson on just such a spectacular rushing performance this season. And that guy is just unbelievable.
I'll put it this way. I mean, I won't go as far as that because I've seen many of the great ones.
Oh, you've seen more, yeah.
You know, and but, you know, he certainly this season is, you know, I remember Eric Dickerson back in 84 rushing for 2105. And, I mean, they just couldn't stop him. I mean, you saw it this year with Peterson. But, you know, back then it just seemed, I don't know, it felt more impressive to me then. Then watching Peterson now for some reason, I can't tell you why, but it was just, my mouth was open watching Eric Dickerson and playing for a Rams team that really wasn't very good. And yet, I mean, the guy just couldn't stop him.
Did they make the playoffs that season?
I don't even remember, to be honest with you. But you know, Adrian Peterson, I mean, I think it is incredible that he did that the very next season coming off of such a major injury. And so talking 8 months, 9 months, and he's back at an injury that can keep you out a year, 15 months easy. So, I mean, physically, he's a phenom. And
they need to do some blood work on Adrian Peterson and take his genes when eventually he's gone and see if this man's alien or see if he can help people just – I don't know. Just use his body for science, people. Because this guy, again, isn't normal. This is ridiculous. This man is a machine. Absolutely. And also, I didn't see Eric Dickerson's season, but I do want to point out he did have 40 more carries than AP did, only 9 more yards. So that's tough.
Yeah. But an MVP, my vote would – I don't know. I think it could go either way. But I would have to give Peyton Manning – If you only picked one person, Peyton Manning, I mean, these guys, I don't know, was it 10, 11 straight they finished the season with? They just kept winning. And, you know, we're looking at Houston and we're looking at, the Patriots and looking at these other teams. And the Broncos just kept winning. They just kept winning. And they actually were able to get the first round, the number one seed, home field. I mean, that is huge considering where they play. That's huge. And so for me, for a guy who missed an entire season, a guy that was released as a legend from his team, a guy that had 4 surgeries on his neck, a guy that the first 3 or 4 games, we weren't even sure if he was going to return to, his old form. We were talking about it. The balls weren't spiraling in, and he threw 3 picks in 1 quarter in 1 game, and, they were 2-3 or whatever it was. And,
He kept just turning, man.
Yeah. I mean, so for me, it's Peyton Manning. I think that would be his 5th MVP.
It would be.
I think this would be his most impressive, if you ask me. Anyway, I want to get your thoughts on this, and then we're going to take a quick look at the coaches around the NFL and, just kind of talk a little bit about the ones that have been fired. I mean, it really isn't much to say other than bye, but we'll check it out here. You are a Steeler fan. You've seen Ray Lewis play 2 games a year, probably most of his career, and he's announced either yesterday or today that he's going to retire. And, there are some people doubting whether he will or won't, but I think he will. And there's even rumors that he already has a deal pending with ESPN, post the playoffs.
Which was quick, by the way. My God.
Well, they're smart, though. I mean.
Yeah, you got to lock him up.
Jump on him quick, and but that said, what are your thoughts on a guy that I'm sure you've had more than choice to say about over the years?
Yeah, it's a little interesting because, on one hand, this is a guy who was a pain in the ass, quite honestly, in the Steelers. And not even just us. I don't want to just say all the Steelers. Just the rest of the NFL, the AFC North, the AFC Central at one point, just a guy who was just so dominant. And just, again, a thorn in the side of everyone he played. With that said, I'm glad in that aspect that it's probably going to end just because, like, all right, thank God, finally we can, like, just breathe a little bit without this guy – I don't know, breaking our running back's collarbone, which he did Rashard Mendenhall's rookie season, and just the countless amount of big hits and big impact plays he made in games. We can finally put that to rest. But I'm going to miss him a little bit too, because when you're on that plateau and just level of greatness, arguably, and there's definitely an argument to be made, the greatest defensive player of all time, you know, you just kind of have to tip your hat to this guy and say, look, I don't like you, but goddamn, I respect you because you're a phenomenal football player. You're almost above a rivalry because you're just that good. There's no way you can't watch Ray Lewis and appreciate him for the leader and player that he is. So part of me, again, is a little relief because we don't have to see him, don't have to mess with him anymore. But then part of me is like, well, the NFL's going to miss an all-time great player. And, I mean, this is a guy, you know, when the Steelers and Ravens play, you would like it if everyone was there. You would like it if Ben or Nada or Suggs were there. But Ray Lewis, Hines Ward, guys like that, those are guys you don't replace. Those are guys who are timeless. And I'm going to miss seeing Ray Lewis play and compete. My Steelers compete against Ray Lewis. And, again, arguably one of the best defensive players of all time and a guy who I think revolutionized the game. He, by the way, the 2000 Ravens defense, just, again, he was part of arguably the great defensive team of all time. You know, a guy who ran sideline to sideline quicker, more violently, ferociously than anyone I had seen. A guy who thrived in 3-4. There wasn't a system he couldn't play in. There wasn't a better leader. So hats off to Ray Lewis, to a great career. And honestly, though, I hate to see it go, but I can't complain too much because I can finally rest a little bit over in Pittsburgh.
Well, you know, let me say this. I mean, and unfortunately, I've got to come in a little bit of a different direction. First of all, there's no arguing that Ray Lewis is a great linebacker. Ray Lewis is a great leader. Ray Lewis will go down. I'm going to stretch and say a top 10 all-time defensive player. The one thing that really bothers me, though, is I think people, you know, we get caught up in the moment and we look at now and we forget yesterday and we forget the long history of the NFL. And anybody that puts Ray Lewis ahead of Lawrence Taylor is smoking something. Lawrence Taylor is the greatest linebacker to ever play this game, period, end of discussion. Lawrence Taylor changed the game like no other linebacker ever in a game of football. That's just a fact. People schemed against him. He played on defenses. He played on some very good defenses. They also built the team around Lawrence Taylor. But he was an unstoppable force. So as a linebacker, Lawrence Taylor over Reggie Lewis. I mean, Reggie Lewis. Ray Lewis. And you probably hear where I'm going. As a defensive player, there's another guy that's got to be thrown in here, to me, ahead of Ray Lewis, and that's Reggie White. I mean, what Reggie White was able to do, his defensive end, but he's another guy that just can single-handedly change a game. And while Ray Lewis was great at what he did, he was great at inspiring his team, he was great at making tackles. When I look at players that change a defense, I look at turnovers, I look at sacks. Turnovers and sacks are what change games. Tackles, to me, come next. Ray Lewis was a short tackler. He was a good hitter. But he wasn't an LT when it came to sacks. And he was never really, wasn't an Ed Reed, you know, when it came to turnovers. So while he was a great linebacker, great leader, and definitely, in my opinion, top 10. And if I sat down and really thought about it, I might even say top 5. But I don't know, because then I start thinking about Charles Haley. I start thinking about Deion Sanders. You know, I start thinking about these other guys that could change a game. I don't know that I'm quick to say top 5. Top 10, I'll say that. Top 5 is debatable to me. So I just kind of feel like we get caught up in the moment with some of these players, and we want to anoint them as the greatest of all time and this, that, and the other. And, you know, it's kind of like we look at Adrian Peterson and we forget Barry Sanders. We forget Emmitt Smith. We forget Jim Brown. We forget OJ. You know, we forget some of these guys that revolutionized the game long before Adrian Peterson came on the field. You know, Adrian Peterson's a great, great running back, but Barry Sanders ran for 1,500 yards a year for 10 years in a row with no offensive line. You know, I mean, he did that on his own year after year after year, never had a major injury, you know, and then just said, okay, I'm done. I'm tired. You know, I'm not going to ever win a Super Bowl because we can't even get to the playoffs. So you know what? I'm going to go play golf. I'll see you later. You know, so I just want to just remind the NFL fans that it's great to look at the players today and give them their kudos. And Adrian Peterson is an incredible running back. Ray Lewis is an incredible he's declined a bit, but great leader, still a good football player. But there's been a lot of guys on that field that have played this game pretty well. And let's just not lose track of the history of the game. That's all I'm saying. Let's not lose track of that. So.
Real quick, though, he is the only linebacker in NFL history to have over 30 NFL interceptions in his career and 40-plus sacks. That's pretty remarkable. He did cause a lot of turnovers. He did have some pretty big interceptions throughout his career. So I don't want to be inaccurate with that either because he did create quite a few turnovers in his career.
Well, I mean, for a middle linebacker, I would not disagree that he created turnovers, but you know, he played 17 years too. I mean, let's
yeah,
put all
he
the
played
fact
a very long time.
He played 17 years, you know, and God bless him for being able to play 17 years. But I watched a lot of the games, and you know, when I think about game changing plays on that defense, Ed Reed comes to mind quicker than Ray Lewis does. That's all I'm saying. You know, and I know Ed Reed's only got 8 or 9 years on that team, but Ed Reed comes to mind before Ray Lewis when I look at who changed games with their play. You know, who was the guy down the stretch that made the play that changed the game? And I think of Ed Reed more than I do Ray Lewis. You know, that's all I'm saying. So, but again, I don't want to take anything away from Ray Lewis. I hate to lose the history of the game. You know, Charles Haley, 5 Super Bowls. You know, we already know what Lawrence Taylor did in his career. I mean, you say 40 sacks for Ray Lewis. Well, you know, 100 and how many sacks for Lawrence Taylor? So, you know, and that's all I'm saying. You know, that's
Lawrence
that's
Taylor, definitely the more exciting football player. I don't think that's, you know, and I didn't even watch him play during his payday, but
he changed the game. I mean, he changed.
Yeah, the highlights of Lawrence Taylor are ridiculous. I mean, the man, the nickname was LT. Like, it was that cool. Like, he was so explosive off the snap. He was a guy that just wrecked off of the lines, wrecked dreams, killed quarterbacks after Theismann. He was just amazing. And Ray Lewis was too, but this guy is more of an explosive, in-your-face kind of player than Ray, who held it down in the middle of the field. But again, you're right. LT was probably the premier defensive player in football. And Reggie White, by the way, was also phenomenal. The Minister of Defense.
This guy played for Philly and Green Bay. And I tell you, when he played for Philly, he caused me many sleepless nights, man. Many sleepless nights. Real quick, you know, there's going to be a lot of discussion. Andy Reid looks like he's going to Kansas City. I don't know if that's – I don't think that that's final yet. The Steelers have granted permission for Todd Haley to interview with the Cardinals.
Take him. Hey, Arizona, take him. Let me tell you something. You know what? I defended him throughout the year. You know what? Ben's happiness is more important than anything else to me. Let me tell you. Just very, very important that Ben's happy. So if Ty Haley goes to Arizona, let me tell you, if we get Orr Turner, and that's what I'm banking on, you sold me that dream, and I am intent that the Steelers make this happen. Get Ty Haley out. Go to Arizona. Come on, Arizona. He was a great coordinator for you guys. Got to the Super Bowl. I will pitch something in to the donation to the pot. Get him out of here. Let's just please move on. I'm tired already. I was sick these last 2 weeks of the season. That's all I needed to see.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the fact that the guy signed a one-year deal, I don't know what the Steelers are waiting for. They need to just – I mean, maybe his contract doesn't end until February.
Yeah, he has another year left, so hopefully, again, he can just leave, go to Arizona, take him off our hands. Because,
I thought
again,
they signed up to 1 year.
No, it ended up being 2. I had to look it up because I was hoping that was the case. But no,
you don't want him. You don't want him, but you know now that the Cowboys are sitting home too. I you know, wherever Norv Turner ends up, if he ends up with a team that has some weapons, look out, because the guy is a great offensive coordinator. So Andy Reid's gone. Looks like Kansas City. I don't see it, but I mean, good luck, Andy Reid. Get him out of the NFC. Go ahead over to Kansas City. See what you can do. Norv Turner and his GM were both let go. We'll see where they end up. Chan Gailey let go by the Bills. You know, Chan Gailey is one of those guys. You know, was Dallas Cowboy head coach, and Jerry Jones said it was one mistake he made as general manager was he prematurely fired Chan Gailey. I don't know if I agree or disagree, but I was never impressed with him as a head coach. He's one of those guys. He's a very nice guy. But to quote again Stephen A. Smith, and I certainly don't like quoting Stephen A. Smith, but I do appreciate his phrase, a leader of men. And never really got that from Chan Gailey. So I don't think he's going to end up in the NFL as a head coach. Could go back to college or could end up as a coordinator. Or could, you know, he's been around a while. He could just sit home and, you know, spend his money. Romeo Crennel, obviously, if the Chiefs are looking to hire Andy Reid, then that means Romeo Crennel. I'd see him in the NFL next year as a defensive coordinator, a very solid defensive mind. Not really head coaching material, although he did handle that tragedy very well down there in Kansas City. But head coaching material, he just can't get it done. So look for him to be a coordinator. Shermer, the Browns, I didn't follow the Browns much. I don't know, K-Star, any thoughts on Shermer? You played against him twice this year. You know, it looked like the Browns were on the upswing. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, no real thoughts. I mean, I think Cleveland's trying to search for answers. I don't know if they can find it with the coaching carousel they continue to do over there in Cleveland. But I have a couple of friends who are actually big Brown fans, and they're happy. But, you know, they're always happy when there's change because they always think that something's going to change for the better, but it hasn't. So it's whatever.
Yeah. Wisenhunt let go by the Cards. You know, Cards have been a floundering team for a while. I don't see them becoming anything until they figure out their quarterback situation. I don't think Cobb is the answer. I don't think they have a quarterback on their roster that's the answer. They need to go find a quarterback. And again, I hate to always bring it back to the Cowboys, but just to continue to reiterate my point, you know, we could be the Cardinals. You know, I don't think Cobb is their answer. They need to go find, I don't know, there's not a lot coming out in the draft this year. Maybe they can, you know, look around and see who's sitting on a bench somewhere. Maybe a Matt Flynn or somebody who, you know, is a backup. Maybe they can go get somebody like that. But they need a quarterback. You know, they have some talent and wide receiver that's being wasted down there. General manager Gene Smith gone from the Jags, could care less. Last comment on this, Tannenbaum from the Jets fired. Can somebody explain to me why Rex Ryan still has a job? Can K-Star help me understand who has a job?
I used to like and enjoy Rex Ryan. Now I can't stand him, and I just can't wait for the day he's fired. He wasted Tim Tebow. He wasted him. And he gave him the runaround. He gave the fans, the media. He gave everyone the runaround. It was just ridiculous. We talked about the Jets all year for no reason. None. It's sickening. And this guy appears to be loyal to a quarterback he didn't deserve. We couldn't play dead, as Woody Page used to say. It's ridiculous, man. Like, Rex Ryan, and you know what? He actually apparently had left before the reports could really ask him a whole bunch of questions, which I thought was just very weaselly of him to do, as the Jets were kind of departing the facility and everything. And for him, look, we can go back and reference how he took his team to the two AFC Championship games, because he did, and his defense was still pretty intact and pretty good this season, you know. But the thing is, you know, and you made that point from First Take when they had talked about it might have been the Akron Genius roster. And as a coach, you know, we can kill the GM and everything, but the coach also makes those decisions in the draft room. He has his blueprints. He has his hands on this team, and this season he played a part in it. And I don't think that he should just walk willingly, or be able to walk, rather, without any kind of damage done to him, because this season has just been an absolute just disgusting I'm angry just talking about it. I just want to call it a filthy Rex Ryan season. I've never seen a coach have a more filthy season than this. I just felt dirty watching it. It was bad.
Let me just say this, and you know, the guy should have been fired. okay? How do you take a first-round draft pick like Tim Tebow and not use him and not give him a chance?
Not even a little bit.
Didn't give him a chance. I don't get it. I said that Tim Tebow would start because I thought that it was a serious trade, and it turned out to be garbage. The guy, you know, you're Vince Young, you know, and there's others, Leinart, there's other guys that have come in, first-round draft picks, and failed. Tebow has not been given a fair chance to fail. And when he was starting, he won games. He didn't throw well, and we all know that. It's well documented, but he won games. He figured out ways to get wins, took the Broncos and beat K-Star Steelers. And I'm even going to spare K-Star my famous clip because I'm in no position to play that clip right now with what just happened with my Cowboys this Sunday. So K-Star gets spared. But the guy was able to win games, and he goes to the Jets. Sanchez tanks, and he doesn't get a chance to start. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. So I don't get it. To me, Rex Ryan should have been fired or something. But I'll be happy to see Tim Tebow go to Jacksonville, compete for the starting job, or wherever he ends up. And let's see if this guy can get a fair shake in the NFL. He deserves it.
He does.
He deserves it. He deserves a fair chance to be an NFL starting quarterback.
Yeah, whether you believe in him or not, and that's fine if you don't, because there's so many reasons why a lot of teams don't believe in him. But he's absolutely deserving of a chance. I mean, this is a guy, again, who led his team to the playoffs last season and actually beat my own Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs last year. A guy who, again, was a first-round pick, arguably the greatest college player of all time. Like, come on, this is ridiculous. And to me, the biggest insult was when they started great McElroy over him. Like, really, Rex? Are you kidding me? And Tim, the well-mannered Tim Tebow even got frustrated, and apparently – some rumors had leaked that, like, he just didn't want to be a part of the team and after that whole process, which, you know what, I don't even blame him because the way he was treated and the runaround he got, you know what, he was just in basically a car lot all freaking season long. Just getting the runaround from these car salesmen, it was ridiculous, man. I just feel for the guy, and I can't wait to see him play next year. I hope he does well. We shall see. But, again, you're right. He absolutely deserves the opportunity at the very least, to prove whether he can or can't play quarterback in this league. Let him at least prove that on the field.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, your Steelers and my Cowboys have the – in a season, coming off a season where I believe, what were there, 8 or 9 teams last year that finished 8-8? We're the only teams that finished 8-8 this year. So just thought I'd share that with you.
There you go.
All right, last topic. We wanted to get Train in on it. And evidently he couldn't join us, but we certainly understand. And once again, if he does catch the archive, want to just wish him well on his relocation. He will still be joining us. We're going to catch up with him and figure out how his schedule pans out. But we don't anticipate any problems once he gets settled in California and gets into his little routine. Dr. Train has already committed to stay with the Madden Voice. We just got to figure out schedules. So, all fans of Dr. Train's philosophy, don't worry. It's not going anywhere. But let's before we do our picks, our playoff picks this weekend, let's take a few minutes to talk about the Bears at 10-6 not making the playoffs and Lovie Smith getting fired. I have not an idea what – I have not had any chance to talk to Dr. Train, so my gut would say that he is against the firing. That's what my gut would say. I don't know if this is true or not, but K-Star, what are your thoughts on Lovie Smith being fired?
Well, first, I was shocked.
Are you there? We lost you again. K-Star.
Can you hear me now?
All right, Ed.
All right, good. I was shocked. Honestly, I didn't see that coming whatsoever. This team had a 10-win season. I think both of us would have loved to have a 10-win season at this point, given what happened. It shocked me because, to me, I felt like the Bears had a foundation. I mean, sure, they struggled on offense, and they were kind of searching there. But to me, there were some personnel changes away at the offensive line of getting where they needed to be. Because defensively, they had a great defense all season. I mean, they had a little point where they didn't play quite as well as they had probably had hoped me against San Francisco in a couple of other games. But for the majority of the season, they played great. They've had a foundation there. This guy who's brought them to the Super Bowl, taken them to the NFC Championship game. Last season, unfortunately, had the injury bug in which couldn't be overcome. And this year, 10 wins, played a couple games without Cutler. I'm not going to try to get into any excuses because they're professionals out there, but, I mean, he didn't have a bad season. The Bears didn't have a bad season. They unfortunately missed the game or missed the playoffs because, you know, the Vikings had won, you know, against Green Bay, and they couldn't beat Green Bay and all that other good stuff. But, again, a 10-win season is a good season. This is a guy and a team that has foundation. I don't understand why you want to shake that up. I'm not really sure who they are considering bringing in, but I would hope that if they were to fire Lovie Smith, that they had some kind of contingent plan or something in the works to which they feel like they could definitely vastly improve their football team, because I don't think by removing Lovie Smith, who I think will land a job tomorrow, not necessarily tomorrow, but this first off in the year, he will definitely have a job. But, you know, they need something better than Lovie Smith. I'm not sure that's out there, so I'm not really sure what they're doing. But I was shocked, and I'm not really sure. You know, the Bears fans, seems like I'm fans of everyone. I don't know if people were fans of these teams. They seemed a little shocked as well and kind of were on the fence about it, simply because of the offensive woes and everything, but then they also acknowledged, however, you know, this is still a team that's pretty solid, has a foundation, has had that, and it's been pretty consistent. So, shocking to me, and again, he's, in my eyes, a pretty good coach that will land a job fairly soon.
I heard today that Joe DiCamillo, special teams coach for the Dallas Cowboys, is interviewing for the head coaching job in Chicago. And I think he'd be a great fit. He's a good coach. He's definitely their style, the Chicago football team. He's that style, that Mike Ditka kind of style, if you will. And that's the only person I've heard of. When I look at the list of head coaching candidates, other than maybe Andy Reid, I see no one on this list that moves me to go to Chicago. Nobody. Reid would have probably been the only guy with any kind of pedigree of some sort of championship level that could you know, be worthy of a team that won 10 games this year. I understand the firing. I don't agree with it. I think that the Bears over the last couple years have been underachievers with the talent that they've had. They've had injuries, but so has everybody else, and we need to stop. You know, you can talk about it in Pittsburgh. I can certainly talk about it in Dallas. The defense was just completely desecrated over in Dallas. You know, but that said, the Bears have been underachievers. I don't agree with the firing, but I understand it. At some point, you have to say, we need more, and we're not getting it. But my question is, it's the same thing as Romo in Dallas. You know, if you let Romo go, who do you have next? And this is where I say, I understand it because you want more, but who the hell are you going to bring in? That's my question is, who do you bring in that's going to get more out of that team than Lovie Smith? And that's where I struggle to say. Now, Joe DiCamillis from the Cowboys is a good candidate. I gotta be honest to say, the Chicago fans would be pretty happy with this guy. But I don't know who else is interviewing, and I don't see anybody out there on the horizon that's going to do more than what Lovie Smith was able to. We are pleased to have with us. I see him just joined us, and just in time, too. We waited to get to this topic and pretty much ran out of topics, so perfect timing. Dr. Train, fresh off his plane from California, is with us. Happy New Year, and welcome to the Mad Voice.
What up, T? What up, K? Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year.
We're all depressed here. You guys more recent to the latest depression, but hey.
Well, you know, me and Train went into the last week of the season with a chance to make the playoffs. Train's team did their part and got the win. My team didn't. So yeah, it was rough for both of us last week when K-Star was already eliminated. But at the end of the season, all three of us sit at home watching the playoffs. So there's no love in Maddenville. But Train, right on time. We were talking about the Bears firing Lovie Smith. I don't know if you know this, Joe DiCamillis, special teams coach for the Dallas Cowboys, will be interviewing for your head coaching position. And regardless of whether you're for or against the firing, Joe D's a pretty good candidate for your team. I'll just let you know now, as a Cowboy fan. He is not someone to take lightly as a potential head coaching candidate. And I'm not saying he's even going to get the job, but you know, he's a good coach. He's a good football mind, and I think you guys would really – I think you guys would like him. But putting that aside – share with your fans and share with us, because we haven't had a chance to talk. You've been busy all week. What are your thoughts on Lovie Smith being let go? 10-win season, and he gets fired. What are your thoughts?
Well, when I listened in, I heard you say you don't agree with the firing, but you understand, and that's exactly where I am. I definitely don't agree. I love Lovie Smith as a head coach. His players played for him. He had to respect his players. You know, there was no, you know, if y'all remember earlier in the season when DJ Moore said those words about Jay Cutler bumping Jamarcus Webb, well, that was nipped in the bud within a week's time. And you never saw anything like that happen again. He gains his players' respect. But, you know, at the same time, once you start firing offensive coordinators, eventually you're going to run out of chances to fire offensive coordinators to get the other side, to get some progress on the other side of the ball. They brought in the talent. Phil Emery brought in as much talent as he could within his 1 year, and it was basically another 1 year trial for Lovie. So it kind of sucks because, you know, I like him as a head coach, and of course, when I read through the Tribune, you have other fans who are like firing off, and they want him fired, and they blame Lovie for this, and they blame Lovie for that. But as long as Lovie Smith has been our head coach, Chicago's defense has been one of the best in the league, and through his tenure, we've led the league in turnovers, and that's huge. And when you can get turnovers for your offense, you create more opportunities for your offense to score. The only problem is Lovie Smith has not been able to bring in an offensive coordinator to get the job done, and that's kind of one of the main reasons why he's gone. Just getting that guy to head the other side of the ball. It's tough, but like I said, I understand it as a Bears fan to be real, man. I'm just ready for some progress. I want to see some postseason. I mean, Phil Emery said it best. You play this game to win championships, and the only way to win championships is to be in contention, and the only way to be in contention is to be in the playoffs. And so if you take Lovie Smith's career, first 3 years, two playoff appearances, one Super Bowl appearance, great. Next 6 years, one playoff appearance. Regardless of record, one playoff appearance. That's honestly just not acceptable.
Breaking news, Bears ask for permission to interview Bruce Arians, Colts offensive coordinator, for their head coaching. This is breaking news on NFL.com. NFL Network, since it's relevant to what we're talking about, I thought I'd announce that. But anyway, Lovie Smith expected to interview with the Bills as well. Sorry, just giving everybody the updates as they come across.
Sure, go ahead. As far as the candidates, that's cool that they're looking at Bruce Arians. They also were looking at Denver's offensive coordinator. They were looking at Atlanta's special teams coordinator. They were looking at offense coordinator.
Are you guys looking at Todd Haley?
not that I know of. And I hope
he has a great attitude. Him and Jay Cutler would get along just well.
I hope not. But they were looking at some people who, I mean, I like the fact that they were looking at Denver's offense coordinator because, you know, he was able to run an offense that featured Tim Tebow at quarterback. I mean, now he has Peyton Manning, and you see what he's doing, but we all know how well good Peyton Manning is, but still he was able to get some kind of offensive progress with Tim Tebow at quarterback. And then they also asked permission to interview Tom Clements, who is the offensive coordinator for Green Bay for the Packers. Clearly, I would love to steal anything away from Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers loves this guy.
You know, I want to piggyback on something Train said, and I think, and I'm impressed because, you know, obviously you had a flight today and all that, and going from one coast to the other pretty much, and you sound sharp and right on your game. So, you know, everybody understand this guy's relocating to another part of the country and still found time to come on to Mad Voice. We appreciate it, K-Star and I. Saints sitting on hold listening, and certainly your fans appreciate it. So thank you, Dr. Train, for your dedication to the show. That said, I want to piggyback something that you said. You know, I feel like this, and you guys give me a minute to kind of work this in my head, but something you said really stimulated this. I hate the Pittsburgh Steelers. Can't stand them. But I respect the franchise because they have set a standard of excellence that I respect. The Steelers, it's about winning Super Bowls, and that's it. Okay? We come to win Super Bowls. That's what the Steelers are about. You know, Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and now Mike Tomlin. That's what it's about, okay? And when you look at teams like the New York Yankees, that's what it's about, winning pennants, winning World Series. You know, and the Dallas Cowboys, in my opinion, that's what it's always been about, which is why I always love this team. And I'm certainly the Bears, by letting go of Lovie Smith, are sending the same message. And my point is, we get to support coaches and players as fans because we develop loyalties and we want to ride the Romos and the Cutlers and the Roethlisbergers. And, you know, of course, Ben's got two, so, you know, you should keep riding them. But you want to ride these guys and say these are our franchise players and you want to show loyalty. But as a fan, and remember, we do this for the fans, okay? My loyalty stops when we stop making the playoffs. My loyalty, because if we don't, as Train just very eloquently said, if you don't make the playoffs, you're not going to Super Bowl. That's just a fact. And so in order to have a chance to go to the Super Bowl, you've got to make the playoffs. And I don't care how much talent you have, what your coach's pedigree is, what their regular season win-loss record is, if you're not going to the postseason, something is wrong. And that's what the Bears are saying by letting go of Lovie Smith. One, I didn't know this. One playoff appearance in 6 years. It's time. It's time. That's just the bottom line. It's time. And dare I say, for the Steelers, there's no worries. You know, because we know standard of excellence over there that Tomlin has, and you guys will be back next year and be making noise. But I'm worried about my Cowboys because I feel like to some degree that Jerry Jones is saying all the right things right now, so we'll see what happens. But to some degree, I feel like there's some complacency going on, and I'm not happy about that. I want Super Bowls. And in order for that to happen, you got to get to the playoffs. And we as fans deserve our teams to put the best package on the field from the general manager all the way down to the water boy. You put the best package on the team for us to show us that you're committed to winning games to get into the playoffs. And if you don't have that, then you need to show us, because we're the ones that are spending the money on the tickets, on the NFL packages, on the jerseys, that are creating, the advertising that's being done is to us so that we buy goods and services. So this is for us, guys. This is for us, and if we are not happy, then they owe it to us to make us happy. And dare I say, Dr. Train, that's what your Bears are trying to do. I don't necessarily completely agree with it, because if the Vikings lose, you're in the playoffs, and Lovie Smith is not fired.
Yeah. Well, see, and the funny thing is that when you look at Lovie Smith's firing, you kind of remind you of last year's firing Jerry Angelo. What happens if Jay Cutler stays healthy?
Right.
What happens if Jay Cutler stays healthy and we go to the playoffs?
You know, I just want to say, for me, as far as the Bears situation firing Lovie Smith, for me it was just personnel thing. I feel like they just had to improve that offensive line before they really could go anywhere, because to me that's been like the problem there for the last few seasons. Chicago, if you don't have any kind of offensive line, it's just going to be tough to do any kind of work there. And I don't know if removing the head coach is going to do that. For me, it's more of a personnel GM type of thing they got to address. And, you know, I'm pretty sure, I would hope that Lovie Smith was all about improving that offensive line and pushing to do so. I'm not sure, you know, what happened behind the closed doors or whatnot, but I don't agree with the firing personally, but hey.
But here's the thing, K-Star, and all of that, I don't disagree with anything that you said, but here's the thing. At some point, somebody has to shoulder the blame when a team does not have progress.
Okay? Yeah.
So Lovie Smith is not the GM, but Lovie Smith is definitely responsible for bringing in the staff that's supposed to help develop the players. If you don't develop players, you don't improve.
Yeah, draft these players to develop them, though. I mean, he controls the coaches, maybe, but not the personnel.
Okay,
I don't know that, but I would assume.
But still, he's the head coach. So at the end of the day,
everything is going to point up, and it's going to point up until it gets to the GM. The GM just got hired last year, so it can't go to the GM. So it has to stop at the head coach. The head coach, and since he's been there for 9 seasons, who do you shoulder the blame? You've already got rid of last year's GM. You got rid of Jerry Angelo, so the next person to get the head chop would have to be Lovie Smith. Like I said, I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree with it, but I do understand why the Bears made the move. Lovie Smith will get another head coaching job. Let me say that. He will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I said that earlier before. He's fine. He's going to have a job next year.
Oh, yeah. And since he's had one stint, now he understands that, okay, I definitely need to find the right man for the other side of the ball, because if he gets the right man for the other side of the ball, please look out. Look out.
Gentlemen.
For Yeah.
Gentlemen, somehow or another got dropped off the – you can hear me, right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
We hear you well.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Something's kooky with my internet over here. And,
okay.
But, all of a sudden I was sitting there talking to myself, and I thought K-Star dropped, but I ended up being the one who dropped. Sorry.
Yeah, look at you. You know what? You felt a little bit like Lovie Smith just now. Wonder what happened to you.
Yeah, I did. I just, it was like all of a sudden I was just not on the air anymore. And okay, I'm reconnecting. Did we get Saint on? I tried to unmute Saint. Did we get him on or not?
Did he come back in? If you guys don't get him back in, I will let you know this. Me and Saint went back and forth yesterday. And
no,
of course
I'm gonna
he
get
didn't
him.
Agree
I just
the fire love him.
He was on earlier in the show, Train. By the way, we were talking Romo, which by the way. Great time with that.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Lovie Smith, but it will take me about a minute to reconnect. I'm going through another device. I always have a backup plan because for some reason I don't understand what's going on with my internet. But, you know, modern technology, as much as I love it, we depend on it so much. And then when it fails us at key moments, we are stuck. So bear with me for a moment. Now, who was talking and what was being talked about? What did I miss?
We're talking about Lovie Smith, and I basically was saying that for me, I didn't agree with it because to me, the real problem with the Bears is addressing the offensive line, and to me, that's more of a GM type of issue. But Train alluded and educated me, let me know that they brought a GM just a year ago, so they couldn't really it sounds like they wanted to hold someone accountable. He had been there for a while, and that was kind of that. I don't really agree with it, but we do agree that Lovie Smith will have a job quite soon somewhere. Because he is a very good football coach, I believe.
I think he'd be a good fit in Buffalo, I'll tell you.
I do, too. You know, they need defensive help, and they definitely have personnel. Maybe light a fire under Mari Williams' ass and those guys down there.
Yeah, somebody's got to. Okay, let's bring Saint on now. I think I can do this now.
Am I in here?
Here we go. Saint.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
we hear you.
I'm in. Okay. Listen, Matt. Me and Buck went out just yesterday. Like two girls sitting in a salon studio or something, man. And I disagree with you guys on this because, listen, I just went through this in Tennessee. We all went through this. The grass is not always greener on the other side. Lovie Smith, man, you can say what you can. Maybe he has dropped the ball a little bit as the head coach, but it's been a little bit. They are winning ball games in Chicago. They are contenders almost every year. And then you move him out the way, don't tell him what you're going to get. You might lose something. You know, it's
you're
better
not
to
a
be
contender,
a contender,
not making the playoffs.
Then
you're not.
Yeah, but you barely just missed the playoffs. And you are.
But you're not a contender if you don't make the playoffs. You're just not.
Only six teams. Yeah, you are. Because I know what it's. I know what it's like.
Anyway, season usually does get you in though. Train.
Destination.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I know what it's like to be a nothing contender. I mean, we're not even – we're hopeless against any good team. If you come to play, we're going to lose. You do not want to see your team out there like that, man. It's not fun to watch. I would rather watch Chicago play than the Titans play right now.
Wow.
You don't want anyone play right now.
Say that again.
I said you would rather watch anyone play right now than Tennessee, as we were saying earlier.
Just play another team out there, man. Anybody, I'm telling you, man, it's not always green on the other side. And this is the NFL. You can't just make your team good.
Yeah.
You got to go through some things, man. Only six teams in each conference is making the playoffs. One team
but
is
you
winning
set
the
a,
Super Bowl.
You set a standard. And if the standard, I mean, with the talent that Chicago has and to have made the playoffs once in the last 6 years, knowing that you're in the same division with two other teams that did make the playoffs, I mean, at some point you can't continue to accept mediocrity.
To me,
you can't get complacent either.
In football, to me right now, they're in the best division in football and missed it by one game. Come on, man. Come on, guys.
I had a friend of mine who made up a good point, is that when Lovie Smith was first introduced as the Chicago Bears head coach, he has said that his goal, his number one goal and to accomplish is to beat the Green Bay Packers. Well, he hasn't done that lately at all. I believe he's 1-5 in his last six. So that may also have played a very big factor into his departure because they got to beat Green Bay to get anywhere.
Green Bay is one of the best teams in the league.
Oh, we know who they are.
This is the NFL. this ain't a bunch of boys playing ball. This is the NFL.
But Saint, you're coming from a position of saying it's okay to be mediocre, and you don't know what's on the other side, so accept being mediocre. And I don't buy that for a second. You don't accept
when is
being
mediocre.
Okay, mediocre is we missed the playoffs five out of the last 6 years. That's mediocre. That's maybe not even mediocre. That's not why you play the game. You don't play the game to be average. You play for championships. That's what you play for. And if your team isn't in contention, I mean, then
they
you
were.
Have to
I disagree with that. They are. They were.
You got to get to the playoffs then. I agree with Buck 100. You got to get to the playoffs to be in contention. You are not in contention because you have a winning record and you're sitting home every offseason. That's not contention.
The prime example is the New York Giants. Look what happened. Both times they won the Super Bowl. All they did was get in. Barely, but they got in. That makes you a contender. And if you don't have you don't get in, there's no telling what your team is able to do. Okay?
Y'all could have barely got in too. You just barely.
But we didn't. The reality of it is that we didn't, and it's happened five times out of the past 6 years. After a while, man, you get tired of wearing the same dirty drawers, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
but I don't think you're making the right moves. Just think. You're pulling my example as the Giants. How many times have they called for Tom Coughlin-Hayes?
That is a fair point.
Every time they called for his head, he delivered.
Early.
How many times have they called for Lovie Smith's head? He hasn't delivered enough, man.
I disagree.
I'll
just say this one more time. I disagree with the firing, but I do agree with the point that you don't want to be complacent either with mediocrity. That is very true. But again, for me, to accomplish what the Bears need to do, they're glaring that weakness for years has been an offensive line. They haven't addressed it. I'm not sure if that falls on Lovie, but nonetheless, it cost him his job in some capacity.
But see, even when you talk about the offensive line, it's still part of the old regime with Jerry Angelo. Jerry Angelo failed to bring in talent, okay? At the same time with Jerry Angelo failing to bring in talent, even with the guys he brought in, the coaching staff failed to develop some offensive linemen. Whether you grab a free agency or whether you draft them and bring them in, they fail to develop. At the end of the day, that points at the only person left from the old regime, which is Lovie Smith. I can't blame Phil if Emory for his move. This is his job moving forward. So he has to bring in someone that's able to develop players and get the right coaching staff to get the job done to make Chicago Bears contenders. If he does it into the next 5 to maybe 10 years, he's gone.
Dudes like Lovie Smith just don't come out of nowhere. You just can't pick them out of nowhere and make them win the Super Bowl.
Okay, you're talking like
they're
really are. Coordinators and all, they are very good coaches.
Only six teams go to the playoffs in each conference. Only six.
Okay.
Hey, Saint.
Come on, man.
You're a Titans fan, right?
To be a contender.
You're a Titans fan, right?
I mean, yeah, like I'm not a fanatic of anybody. I'm not going to be a. I'm not a fanatic.
Oh, now he's dissing like himself from the
let me make
my point. You're a Titans fan, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Did you want to see Jeff Fisher go?
No, I didn't.
Okay, why not?
Because I thought I'm looking at the pitch and I'm saying the glass is half full. I mean,
so,
I didn't want to be where we are right now. I don't want to be like the Cleveland Browns. I knew with Jeff Fisher, if we have a mediocre team, at least we're going to play mediocre or better.
Okay, so your expectation, and this is where we're different, your expectations are minimal. And so you're saying, I don't want to lose what I have because I'm okay with what I've seen. And we're saying, no, that's not the case. We don't like what we're seeing, and if changes need to be made up to and including the head coach, it's okay. It's not okay to be mediocre. You're accepting. You're saying six teams make it in each conference. And I'm saying, why can't it be the Cowboys? Why can't it be the Bears? That's what we expect. And if it's not, then we want to see our teams making moves to make that happen. Why can't the Bears bring in the next Sean Payton, right? Sean Payton was a coordinator under Bill Parcells. Now he's a Super Bowl champion.
But it's not
Mike
Sean
Tomlin.
Payton. It's not Sean Payton. It's Drew Brees.
Whoa! Well, are you?
I'm sorry. 8-8 this year with Drew Brees.
But then they would still be. They would be in the playoffs. It's not Drew Brees. It is Sean Payton.
Oh, I'm
sorry.
I mean, you know,
the record shows it.
You
did not look like that.
This dude is a. He is a beast. Probably the best quarterback.
He may be a good quarterback, but he is not the whole team. He is definitely not the whole team.
You're losing a lot of credibility. If you're going to sit here and tell me that the Saints at 7-9 didn't miss Sean Payton this year. 7-9.
I'm not saying they didn't miss him, but you take Drew Brees from the equation. Do they got a Super Bowl ring?
No, absolutely not.
Come on now, man. That position is bigger than the head coach position.
So you're saying if Sean Payton wasn't that coach, they still would have been as successful even with Drew Brees? I mean, you take Sean Payton away. Listen to me on this one. You take Sean Payton away from the Saints, and Drew Brees is Tony Romo. All the stats in the world.
Damn.
I'm dead serious. All the stats in the world.
I never thought of it like that.
It's the truth. You watch those two play. They're mirror images of each other. The difference is Drew Brees comes through in the clutch because he's got Sean Payton. And we're hoping in Dallas that Jason Garrett is going to be the next Sean Payton, but he's not. Not yet. He's not. But Sean Payton is the real deal. He's the real deal.
No, so you're saying, hold on now. You're not trying to put Drew Brees, Tony Romo on the same level as Drew Brees.
I'm sorry. Tony Romo
is
5,000 yards.
What he's trying to say is that. Drew Brees without that coach, basically what he's trying to say is a quarterback that puts in some pretty intense, great numbers, but without him, he still isn't the star that stirs the drink. You know, he still needs Sean Payton to make the playoffs, clearly, and he can still play at that high of a level but still not get it done. Romo, kind of the same guy, that is Romo. Great numbers, not really making any playoffs, but that's what Drew Brees was this year without Sean Payton, so...
Go look it up. Their numbers are almost identical this year, Brees and Romo.
But
you're
saying that Sean Payton is more important than Drew Brees. Let's go to their championship. Sean Payton is
what
more
I'm
important
saying
than Drew
is, Brees. What I'm saying is, if Drew Brees is not the quarterback, no, I don't think they win a title. And if Sean Payton is not the head coach and offensive coordinator, no, they don't win a title. It's a perfect marriage of a very good head coach, offensive coordinator, and an elite quarterback.
Well, when you put this in perspective, Lovie Smith ain't got no Drew Brees. You wouldn't put
Lovie Smith isn't Sean Payton either. Lovie Smith is the defensive coordinator.
Tony, you would say Tony Romo is better than Cup, right?
I don't understand your angle. I don't even understand your point. I'm not even making the comparison.
It's not like Lovie Smith was working with a. I don't think he was working with a championship caliber team. Especially, he was in the roughest division in football.
But you're making excuses. You're sitting there justifying losing. You're justifying. We don't live in an excuse. What did Mike Tomlin say? We don't make excuses. The goal is get to the playoffs. If you don't get to the playoffs, we're making changes. That's what this league is all about. That's how we roll.
Just making changes ain't good enough. You got to make better changes.
We don't know who they've hired. We don't know who they're going to bring in. You know, but you don't. When it's time to move on, you move on. And they've decided it's time to move on. I don't agree with it, but I don't blame them.
We just talked about this with Romo. And you said the same thing I said. The grass is not green, always green on the side. So is it time to move on for Tony Romo?
There's no option
for
Tony Romo.
He hasn't got the job done in how many years? He hasn't got the job done.
You're talking head coach who has his hands in every aspect of the game versus the quarterback. It's two different conversations. There are no options for Dallas at quarterback better than Tony Romo right now. And he's under contract for one more year. So
you don't blow up
your salary cap to let him go. You don't do that. You ride him at least one more year and then see what you're up against. But I can understand why the Bears have decided it's time to cut bait with Lovie Smith. It's not working.
Let me say one thing, and I'm glad I watched Phil Emery's press conference. I don't know if you guys caught it, but if you can catch it, man, just watch it and see how the GM speaks. But one thing he did say in his press conference that he wanted a coach that could come in and use some of the pieces that they already have. Maximize the talent on the roster that they already have. And that's what you're looking most for your head coach to do. And he has to bring in the coaching staff to do that. But when you don't get that done, you lose your job. In the long run, when you don't get that done, you lose your job. And that's for any coach.
But is anybody going to do with that defense with Lovie Smith? Because he's did things with that defense that nobody's done since he's been in the league.
I don't know if you were aware.
Come on, man.
I don't know if you were aware, but this past season, guess who was the defense coordinator? Rob Marinelli. And Rob Marinelli had his signature on that defense. Also, Rob Marinelli is still with the Bears. The only person fired is Lovie Smith.
Is Mike Tice still there?
He's gone.
He's gone.
But my thing is, they can actually get a coach that comes in, like the way the Marinelli ran the defense, saw what the defense did last season. But what happens when you bring in a head coach who's offensive minded and now takes advantage of those turnovers that the Bears know how to create, that Marinelli knows how to get them to
by
create.
By the way, Saint had to run. I don't think you heard it because you were talking, but he had to run. But let me wrap this segment up and just say we appreciate Saint's loyalty. That's Train's friend, and we appreciate his loyalty. He's very, very misguided on this one, and anybody. When you're a fan and you're a fanatic fan like we are, we don't accept mediocrity. And when you're playing for, franchises like the Bears, the Cowboys, or the Steelers, I mean, we all can agree on one thing. We're out to win Super Bowls, and that's it. And we want to see our teams making moves that put us closer to winning Super Bowls. And the first step, as Train, said, is you got to get to the postseason. And if you're not getting to the postseason, Dallas 3 years in a row, no postseason. I'm not happy. I can't sit here and defend my team anymore. 3 years in a row, that's not good. And I don't care. I honestly, at this point, if they got rid of Romo, I wouldn't argue it. I don't think it's a smart move, but I wouldn't argue it. If they fired Jason Garrett, I wouldn't argue it. Whatever Jerry Jones decides to do.
Jackie,
I'm right there because it's not okay. And that's what the Bears said by getting rid of Lovie Smith is we need to make a change, and that's what they did. All right, let's make some picks. Let's make some picks.
Okay.
We've got four playoff games. And to remind everyone, AFC number one pick is the Broncos. They will play the lowest of the remaining picks, and the Patriots will play the highest of the remaining. Same in the NFC with the Falcons being number one, 49ers being number two. We've got the Bengals at the Texans. Let's go with K-Star.
All right. This is tough. You know, I don't like Cincinnati at all, but they're playing really good defensive football. Houston's slumping. However, Houston's at home. They've had the better team all season. Should have, although blew it, had a home field advantage. So for me, I don't think they go out quite like this. Not yet, anyway. Next round, we'll talk about that. But I have Houston winning this game. I think they put together a pretty good performance and win at home.
Okay. Train?
You know, if Cincinnati was at home, I would be very tempted to take Cincinnati. If they were the home team. Because I really do like Cincinnati. I like the way they play ball. I like what they've done with the team. I like what they brought in. But Houston, you know, they have to show that they are a playoff team. They're not a complete fluke. They, you know, they did finish with, I think, what, 12 wins. So I think Houston will have it. And they're at home.
Houston was 11-1, lost 3 out of 4. I'm done with them. I've been done with them. I told you that Wade Phillips' defense will not perform down the stretch. It did not. I'm going with Cincinnati all the way. Cincinnati will win this game. Book it.
Oh, wow.
Cincinnati will win. They're playing better football. They're playing better football, and they will win this game. Minnesota rematch of a week ago at Green Bay. As we know, Minnesota actually was able to win this game to Train's dismay. And let's go with Train, his team. So what do you think?
Sorry.
That's all right. Minnesota.
Oh, is it on me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Oh, yeah. Now, mind you, you know, I did play nice since I've been on this phone, but mind you, I'm pissed to talk about this matchup at all. 100% pissed. Okay? As bad as I want Minnesota to go down there, as bad as I want Minnesota to go down there in Lambeau Field and whoop the Packers' ass, it's not going to happen. I'm sorry. I think we'll see the true Aaron Rodgers and the true Packers in this particular game. Minnesota is still a one-man show, and that one-man show is definitely Adrian Peterson. And I applaud him for carrying them this far, but I don't think he'll carry them past Green Bay and Lambeau. So I don't know the Packers on this one.
K-Star?
That's one hell of a show, by the way, the Adrian Peterson show. I enjoyed it quite thoroughly this past Sunday. I'm going Green Bay at home. To me, for Minnesota to go 2 straight weeks and beat Green Bay, odds are definitely not in their favor there, especially traveling at Green Bay. Look, they had a lot of bounces go their way in that game versus Green Bay. A little bit of fluky plays that happened here and there. I think Green Bay wins this game. I think it'll be quite competitive, but the Packers are the better team to me. And I believe, I'm not sure if anyone's aware, is Clay Matthews playing? Because I saw him get hurt at the end of the game at Minnesota. I haven't heard that he's out, but I don't know if anyone's heard anything. I'm just curious.
I haven't heard anything, so I don't know.
Fine. Yeah.
All right.
You said Woodson? You just asked about Woodson?
No.
I was asking about Matthews. Woodson, too. Is he playing? What's going on?
Yeah, Woodson. I believe Woodson was playing.
Nice.
And that's big.
Green Bay.
Yeah. Packers, easy. I don't even need to get into it. You know, Adrian Peterson will not have 200 yards in this game, and the Packers will win. Colts at the Ravens. Ray Lewis is playing. He's full practice. Ed Reed is playing. He's full practice. Colts at the Ravens. K-Star.
Had Ray Lewis not planned his retirement, I definitely would have went with Indianapolis here, but they're going to play for Ray. I mean, they need to play off. They have something to play for anyway, but to me, that emotion is going to be super strong at PNC Stadium. I'm going Baltimore. I hope Andy pulls it off, but I don't see it happening. I think Ray Rice has a big day here.
Okay.
Trey?
Simply put, I just think the Ravens are going to play some inspired football, knowing that this is Ray Lewis's last season
and they're going to give it their all, and I think their all would definitely be enough to beat the Colts or Ravens.
Okay. Ray
Did you say Colts or Ravens?
Ravens. Okay.
No, he's the Ravens.
Yeah, Ravens.
Pay attention.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now y'all made me lose my train of thought. Ray Lewis, very smart guy, announces his retirement before the playoffs, home game. Had he not, I'm telling you, I was going with the Colts until this.
Now, I was too.
Too much emotion. I think their emotion will outlast the Colts' emotion with Pagano. I think Pagano's emotion now is going to be kind of down a little bit because – you know, he's come back. He's coached his win. I think the home field, it's going to be the Ravens. And Colts are going to fight, but they're not going to lose this last game at home against the Colts. So Ravens all the way. Seahawks at the Redskins. I will start this one. And I am going with the Seahawks. I just think they're a better team. I think that their defense will have an answer for RG3. RG3, 9 for 18, 100 yards last week against the Cowboys. Didn't need much more because Alfred Morris ran for 20 yards on 33 carries. Not going to happen. So I just think that Seattle, I just think they're going to, you know, Pete Carroll, they're coming to play. And if it was in Seattle, it'd probably be, no one would pick Washington. But I just think Seattle's a better team. And that defense is very physical. They're going to come ready. So, and of course, there's no way I would ever pick Washington anyway. So, train.
Man, if this game was not in Seattle, I would so roll with Washington. But Seattle was very tough to beat at home. Period. And they play well at home. And they're almost mirror teams, but Seattle, I think, definitely has the better defense. Not say mirror teams with the way they run their offenses, but with Seattle being at home, with Seattle having...
Seattle's at Washington.
Huh?
Seattle's traveling to Washington.
Oh, the game is in Washington.
Game's in Washington.
Yeah,
I'm going with that.
San Francisco won the division.
Oh, I forgot. They didn't win the division.
One of you guys.
For some reason, I thought it was in Seattle.
I haven't heard Train's pick yet. So who's your pick?
Oh, in this case, I'm going to roll with the Redskins on this one.
Okay.
I had to tell him first before
his game not being in Seattle.
He was picking Seattle based on faulty intel. I had to correct him there.
I understand.
I appreciate it. Man, I almost slipped it. Thank you, K-Star.
Yeah.
Yeah, Redskins, let's go.
I'm going Washington. The Seahawks don't play good defense on the road. They're 3-5 away from home. The Redskins have won 7 straight. To me, I don't think anyone controls the line of scrimmage better than they do with their zone read, with their running game with Alfred Morris. I think they keep it moving here. To me, I like Washington. It's going to be a great game, though. I can't wait to see Russell Wilson versus RG3 and how it plays out.
I hate you both for picking the Redskins, so.
All right.
All right, so that's it for our picks. Train, final thoughts? You missed most of the show, but so I'll give you the first dibs at final thoughts.
I just quick question. Did y'all do any, like, Super Bowl predictions at all as far as picking for this, like, later?
You know, I thought about do we want to pick all the way through or just go week by week, and I don't know. I just figured we'd go week by week, but I don't know. I think. We can do that, but I don't know how, you know, it's like picking Super Bowl predictions at the beginning of the season, like, really? you know.
I mean, it's cool. I was just saying, just like we do division predictions at the beginning of the season, you know, just take, you know, toss your pedals out in the dark, just the team, I think, will take it all. But I'll just ask this if you guys have done it, because I don't know if I'm just done it or not.
If you want to do it, we can do that.
I wouldn't mind.
K-Star, do you have a Super Bowl? So you want one team. Who's going to win it all?
Yeah, one team.
All right, Train. One team. Who's going to win it all?
If I had to take my one team right now, man, I would definitely take the Denver Broncos. I think the Broncos are the most well-rounded team in the playoffs. And the fact that the AFC championship has to come through them, through my eye, man. I like what I see.
Okay. K-Star.
Yeah, I've been riding them all year. I'm taking Denver. If I were to pick one team that's winning the Super Bowl, it's Denver. I've been saying them for weeks. So I've been talking about their balance. Peyton Manning getting better. They're at home. I don't see anyone messing with them. I think we'll see Green Bay. I think we'll see Denver, New England. New England being the biggest threat. But to me, it's Denver if I had to pick one team.
I was going to say Denver, except you both said Denver. And so I'm not going to pick Denver now because there's no way that we're all going to be right or all going to be wrong. So there's one team missing from the playoffs, and that's the New York Giants. And so I'm going to go and ride the Patriots. I'm going to go ahead and ride the Patriots. If there's any team that could figure out how to neutralize Peyton Manning, and let's remember that Tom Brady is 8-4 versus Peyton Manning. I agree with everything you guys said. There's nothing to knock about what the Broncos have done this year, but to go against Belichick in the playoffs, and again, Giants aren't in it this year. So let's remember, the Patriots have not won a Super Bowl. Now, you know, I got into an argument with a Patriots fan who wanted to argue with me about Patriots versus Cowboys and all that, and I'm trying to give them their prop, but then they kept talking, so then I had to come out my mouth and say, well, you know, we do have 5 and you don't. We do have 8 appearances and you don't. So, you know, I hate when I have to, you know, pull out the big guns. But that said, they haven't won a Super Bowl. I hate when I have to do that. But that said, they haven't won a Super Bowl, believe it or not, since 2004. And it's hard to believe that when you think that, you know, Brady has 3 Super Bowl wins and 5 appearances himself, but they haven't had a win since 2004. I think Brady gets number 4 this year. And I think the game of the year will be when New England goes to Denver. Better than whatever Super Bowl game.
That'll be truly epic. I hope and I expect that to happen. That would be amazing.
All right. K-Star, any last thoughts?
No, absolutely not. Just looking forward to watching play football. Unfortunately, my Steelers won't be there, but I kind of do this for a week now, so I'm just kind of trying to settle.
All right. I'll be connecting with Dr. Train and seeing what his schedule is like. We will attempt to get back into a regular schedule next week. Hopefully Tuesday, if Train is available, you know, we can get back to our regular one night a week. And, because we're doing a show today, there will not be a lunch with Commissioner T tomorrow. Kind of no reason to talk about. But we'll do a show next week, probably Tuesday night, so stay tuned. And I want to especially thank Dr. Train. I know, you know, he had to get through a lot to get and join us for the last hour, so appreciate that. Thanks, Saint, for his support. And of course, always thanking K-Star, you know, for his continued hosting. And we're still waiting on K-Star to actually host a Madden voice. We're still waiting on that. We're still waiting on a K-Star to host the Madden voice. But with that said, for Train, for K-Star, for everyone out there, I want to thank you for your support. Happy New Year, everybody. And enjoy the games this week. You know, regular season's over. So, you know, we got about another 5 weeks or so of football, and then that's it. So enjoy it while we got it, because then that's it for about 7 months. So thank you, everybody. Enjoy the show. I hope you enjoyed the show. And remember, Madden Voice, all feuds are always settled, like they will be in the playoffs, on the field. Everybody take care.